We now go back to Stephen Watt and Mark Farnham, who we heard from before. Farnham shot Watt more than 30 years ago, but the two later became friends. Since there are not any restorative justice programs for adults in Wyoming, they had to sort of improvise. Still, it seems to have worked out. In part three of our series, we'll hear what this self-led restorative justice therapy has meant for Watt and Farnham.
When Steve visits me, I get to see the socket where there's no eye. We never have whining sessions or complaining sessions, but things will come up in the course of a conversation like you would with any friend. For example, in the last 5 years, he's been through three or four, that are attributed to the shooting, and the state doesn't pay for it. And so he's about $120,000 to $150,000 in debt. So the shooting consequences are still going on. He's still undergoing PTSD. I mean, the slightest sound, smell, a police car, the slightest. Steve could tell you more often than I do, where he relives the shooting, and it's many times a day, and he's still going through it at night. And because I'm familiar with it or aware of it, as the perpetrator, I can't see myself as the victim. I can't say, wow, I've done 30 years in prison, my life is gone. Because I get to see that he's in a prison. I get to see that he's spending his life now on crutches or in a wheelchair because of what I've done to him. I get to see the pain that he goes in. When we're talking, you'll see little things will come up. For example, he couldn't play football with his kids because of the bullet next to his spine. So he lost out on a lot of stuff. Recently he told me he was going to do some things like ride a four-wheeler because he didn't do it when his kids were younger. He was afraid of getting paralyzed because of the bullet that's still next to his spine. And so
I wouldn't trade places with Mark for anything. I can't believe how hard being my friend is for Mark. It's like Mark said, every time he sees me, he has to think about what he did to me. Because of that, every time he deals with someone else, he has to think of how I would do it. He has to stop, and if he's angry at somebody, think about how I forgave him. So it's hard. It's hard for me because just now when Mark was talking, the pain he's suffering from talking about it, it hurts me.
There's many stories with this friendship. It's 31 years. My father was a policeman for 16 years, and when I shot Steve, he couldn't deal with it. To a policeman, a cop shooter is the worst thing. It's absolutely the worst. And every letter I sent to him, he tore up. Every birthday card, every Christmas card, every Father's Day card for 5 years. People would ask him how your son is, and he said, I don't have a son. And Steve wrote him and said, I can forgive him, why can't you? And my dad forgave me after that. And my dad's relationship and mine has never been better. The power of this story, of his forgiveness, it just affects life after life after life for
and,
the good.
And now Mark's dad and I are good friends. And his sisters and I are good friends. And in fact, this summer, I'm going back and I'm going to meet his uncles and his family back there. And I can't wait.
Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, forgiveness is not about the person that you're forgiving. You're doing that for yourself.
Yeah.
And I can tell you about 1,000 instances over the years. Where I've made the decision to forgive somebody, whether it's a family member, whether it's an inmate, whether it's a staff member, and I just forgive them. Make the choice. When you forgive them, you can put it You can go forward instead of looking back.
And hanging on to that and staying in the same spot, because that's what you do. You're just staying in that one spot, and you can't move on until you do forgive. And so whether you're a Christian or not, you have to forgive. And it's for you, not for that other person. They don't even have to know that you've forgiven them. So you got to forgive to move on. And restorative justice to me is for the offender to try to make their victim as whole as possible. Yes. And that's what restorative justice is for the offender to make their victim whole, or society as whole as possible, to heal over those wounds, to do what they must do, you know, because there is a debt to pay. And the debt is to the victim and to society.
For me, there's a humanizing. It would really be easy in prison to get hardened, to get bitter, okay, especially during lengthy periods of time. But when you understand that you're responsible for the pain and you see that person and you have the empathy and the compassion, I'm not saying everybody will or every perpetrator, but where the perpetrators can get that, there's a humanizing. And it for me, I definitely have more empathy today for my fellow man than I did prior to coming to prison. And part of it is the pain of doing time. And doing time is painful. Part of it is, a big part of it is becoming a Christian. Part of it is seeing the pain that I've brought into Steve's life. So for the perpetrator, I think there's a humanizing, and that's important. We don't want to send people out of prison that are callous, that are cold, that are calculating.
Watt and Farnham recently participated in a movie titled Unlikely Friends, a documentary about other similar cases of friendship between victims and perpetrators through forgiveness. Watt recently remarried. He wanted the ceremony held at the prison where Farnham resides so that Farnham could serve as best man. But the Department of Corrections denied his request.